In Parshas Noach, there's quite a few interesting messages and lessons for all of us. But I want to focus on just a couple of points. One point is, we all know that when the Torah describes the animals to Noach, they go into the Teva, so the Torah tells him the animals that are Tahar and the animals that are not Tahar. So there's a very famous Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Zayin writes, we learn from this week's Parsha, or last week's Parsha, that a person should always speak nicely. The Torah could have wrote the animal that's Tameh. Tameh is a harsher word, it's a tougher word. So the Torah is teaching us you should always speak nicely instead of speaking with a negativity, with a harshness. A person should always try to speak nicely. So I listened to a shiur from Rabbi Sabalovsky where he made an interesting observation where he said, but why now? This is a very important lesson. Don't get me wrong, we should always be careful how we speak. But why is it the Torah could have found another place to teach us this message? Like during that Seder Sadibra, the Torah should have told us, you know, before we learn the Torah, you have to know how to talk. Why is it put here at this storyline? So he wanted to suggest, because that is the answer to the kasha that he has, is how did the Dar HaMabul come about? How could a people stray so far away and become the Dar HaMabul? So he explained, it all starts with the way you talk. When a person starts to talk in a vulgar way, that leads you into a vulgar lifestyle, and next thing you know, you're living like the Dar HaMabul. So he wanted to suggest it all starts with the peh. The way one speaks is the beginning of the end. You know, once he was going a little off on a tangent, discussing the difference between the TV of earlier years and today. What was shown on TV, what's not allowed to be shown on TV, right? He doesn't mention this, but this is well known, that it used to be that they weren't allowed to show a man and a woman together in a bed, even if they're completely dressed. They would not show that on TV. That's a long.
They couldn't even say the word pregnant.
Right, that's a long, 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 long way from where we are today, right? So he was explaining that that's the idea. The idea is it all starts with vulgar talk. Once vulgar talk allows itself into our society, then vulgar behavior allows itself into our society, and then we become where we are today. That was his understanding to that kash. I would add, I think it's a good point, I would just add one more nakuda, perhaps the Torah is teaching us something more important. When we read the story of the Dar HaMabul, we read they stole, they did avodah zarah, and they did everything wrong. And you'd be like, okay, so they didn't speak so nicely, that would be the biggest deal. The Torah is reminding us, and when we're talking about big deals, how one speaks is also a big deal. It's as important as the other things. Not because one causes the other, but the importance of speech should be on the same pedestal as we put all the other averas of the Dar HaMabul. The Torah is reminding us that the same way we look at the Dar HaMabul with a disdain and say, how could they do this and they did this? We have to look at bad speech on the same level, because the words that we use and the way we talk and to whom we talk to have a very, very strong power. They can change a situation, they can change a relationship, it can change a friendship, it can change a marriage. How many marriages are put into difficult situations because people use the wrong words? Whole list of words that you could use versus not using change an entire conversation. So the Torah is reminding us, talking nicely, using a nice talk, instead of using a vulgar or a harsh, I'm not even talking about cursing, that goes without saying. We're talking about just, you know, harsh words. Right? The Chazanish used to say, don't say the word liar. That's a strong word. Don't say the guy's a liar. Perhaps you're not saying the truth. You know, that's a different way of looking at life. It's really rechanging the way we think and the way we look at life. Another interesting word I heard, Baruch Hashem, when I don't have enough time to learn Svarim, so Baruch Hashem, they have Wayu Torah, so I can always listen on the go. So this way, while I'm doing a million other things, I can listen to Torah instead of having, when I don't have the time to actually sit down and learn like I'm supposed to. But in any case, so this week was one of those weeks, so I was listening to Rabbi Wagner, Stewie's son's Vard on the Parsha. And he says a Vard, which will, he's not even here. I wait a whole day. Tell him it's recorded, I'll have to listen. So he says a Vard also, which I think is worth mentioning, and we'll add to it as well. He points out that Noach, everyone knows Noach is special because it says in the Pasuk that Hashem walked with Noach. So he asked, but it says Hashem also walked with Chanoch. So why was Noach the superstar and Noach was going to be the greatest leader and Noach was going to be the guy who saved the generation? What happened to Chanoch? He's chopped liver. He also was Esau Lekim, Asalach Noach, Hashem walked with him. So he wanted to suggest the difference between Noach and Chanoch was Noach is there's a Rashi in the end of last week in Parshas Bereishis. Rashi says that when Noach came onto the scene, he created tools. He was the first one to create tools to garden, how to work the ground better. So he wanted to suggest, the pshat is that Noach was someone who learned how to deal with a situation. He was presented with a situation, and he learned how to better the situation. A person that knows how to deal with the ups and downs of life, sees a problem and knows how to fix it, such a person is destined to be a great person and a great leader. Someone told me in my shul on Shabbos that Rabbi Salvation coined this idea that Noach was put into the Bria, the power to deal with disaster. So someone told me. Told me that Rabbi Salvation said that Noach was the first person that was taught, it was put into his DNA. How do we deal with human, how do you deal with tragedy? Right? Noach lived through a tragedy, lived through a modern day Holocaust. And he came out, he started again. So Rabbi Salvezhi suggested all of us have that through Noach. We all have that ability to be able to come out of tragedy and to rebuild. So he wanted. So Rabbi Wagner wanted to suggest that was the difference between Noach. Noach saw a situation and he said, "Well, how can I make the situation better? How can I deal with the lack of ability? Meaning, working the field was a curse. That was part of the klala that Adam got, and then everyone was stuck. So how do we deal with the thorn? So Noach, let's think about it. Let's become creative, and with creativity, he was able to deal with the situation." Im Kane, if that's true, I'll just add one vart, then we understand much better why Noach got in trouble for drinking wine at the end of last week's parasha. Noach, you know better. You know how to deal with tragedy. You don't need to hit the bottle. You know how to deal with tragedy. The answer is not drinking wine. So perhaps Lefizet's move on why Noach was held more accountable for what happened at the end of the parasha is because Noach knew how to deal with tragedy. Noach taught us that when we dealt with a blow, what do you do when you dealt a blow? You get right back up. You deal with it. So therefore, perhaps that's why Noach was held more accountable for what happened when he comes out of the table. But what I really, the real message that I think is important from parasha's Noach about Noach's life is what we can take away for our lives. If you had to look at a person in Jewish history who went through a lot of ups and downs, it was probably Noach. Noach's whole life was up and down. He had his high points, he had his low points. But there's something interesting that Chaim Erlich pointed out to me last week. If you look in Parashas Bereishis, the Torah first tells us that Noach had his first children at the age of 500. That's old. That's old to have your first kids. That's really old. Even back then, that was old. So Rashi comments. Rashi says, why was he so old? Everyone else was having kids at 100 and 150. He's waiting until 500. So Rashi says, this was a toiva for Noach. Why? If he would have kids that were going to grow up to be not good kids, so they're going to die off. There's no great schos of having children and watching them be drowned in the marble. And if they'd be taka good tzaddikim, then it'd be extra work. It'd be a bigger tircha to have to bring them onto the table. So Rashi comments that this was a bracha for Noach. Shimshon Pinkus writes in the Sefer, says, put yourself in Noach's shoes for a second. You're living in a generation where everyone is terrible. And you know everyone is terrible, and you know you're living a good life. And yet you're watching everyone is having children, and everyone's making birthday parties, and everyone's marrying off their kids. And you say to yourself, what happened to me? I'm living the good life, I'm doing what Hashem wants, and they're all getting brachas, and I'm left in the dark. What's going on over here? Easily one could have said to themselves, this is Akash Baruch, this is a rigged system, what's going on over here? I'm keeping the Torah in the mitzvahs, and I'm seeing nothing. And you letting everyone else have kids, and they're all getting brachas and yeshuas in their life. Says Shimshon Pinkus, but what happened at the end? All those families were all destroyed. All those people that had children and they had them for a few years and then the marble wiped them away. Who was the only one that had a family that stayed till the end? That was Noach. So perhaps what we learn from Noach is very often in life we have these ups and downs in life and we just don't understand why is it not going my way. Hashem, why is it not going my way? The answer is because Hashem has a better plan for you. Hashem has a master plan. He knows that this is not the right time for you. This is not the right setting for you. This is not the right situation for you. And you'll see at the end, Baruch Hashem, it will work out well. Says of Moshe Sternbuch, that's why Noach had to go into the table. If you think about it, my wife asked me this in Shabbos. Since when did Noach become a zookeeper? Right, for 12 months, Noach was a full-time zookeeper. Noach was a yeshiv yeshivas. He was like a yeshiva bach. Well, he learned Gemara all day. All of a sudden, you throw him into a zoo? He doesn't know how to deal with the animals. Why would Hashem do this? The answer is, says Ramash Dermach, Hashem needed to teach Noach how to be more compassionate. Noach was lacking a little bit his chesed. He wasn't such a doer. He wasn't such a giver like Avram Avinu. So he needed to sharpen his chesed capacity. So Hashem threw him into the teva. For 12 months, you're going to be the sole supporter, the sole giver of the animals. Therefore, he becomes a more compassionate person. Now, lefizeh, that means that sometimes Hashem puts us in situations that we don't understand, but he's putting us in that situation not because he's punishing us, not because he hates us, not because he's evil. He's trying to make us the best that we can be. He's polishing us, he's tweaking us, he's tightening the bolts so we can be a better person. Rav Shechter said about himself that when he first got married, he wasn't able to have children. Took him a while to have children. Baruch Hashem, he ended up having, I think, 11 children, 12 children. Quite a large family. So he said, he thinks the pshat was, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, so this way, in case one day I'll have a Talmud, or someone will come to him and have an issue with infertility, he'll be able to relate to him. Because if you don't go through it, it's very, you know, people are compassionate, but if you don't go through it, if you're not in the parsha, it's very hard to understand what people are going through, especially now with all the different testing and it's a parsha on its own. So he said he thinks that perhaps he was going through this in the science so it can sharpen him, make him a better person, make him a more compassionate person later on in life. That's a very positive way of looking at nisyonos that come our way. We look at it in a positive light. We look at it as saying that Hashem is not trying to cause me harm because Hashem doesn't love me. Hashem is trying to sharpen me to make me the best me that I can be. He puts me in a situation so I can become a better person. There's a story that Rabbi Fran tells over. It's an unbelievable story. There was a family, I think they lived in LA. They went away for a Shabbos to one of these like Shabbos hotel programs. They were overwhelmed and stressed. They just wanted to get a break. The mother didn't have to cook. He didn't have to clean. And they had small children. And in the middle of the Shabbos meal, the mother realizes that one of her small children are missing. So where did your uncle go? Where did he go? So she starts to get a little nervous. She starts asking around where everyone is, what's going on. Anyway, everyone does there, you know, okay, yeah, he's not there. You know, he's not right next to me. And everyone kind of gets back to the child on their plate. No one gives it too much of a thought. And then she starts to really get nervous. Where's my child? He's missing. I know it's a big hotel. Who knows? So there was one girl there, a teenage girl, a Bisako girl. She took it upon herself that she was going to find this child. She went from room to room, up and down on every floor, and she checked the closets and the bathrooms. And she spent hours and hours. And finally, she comes back to the mother and she says, here's your baby. So the mother says, where was he? Oh, I found him in this room. But we checked that room already. She said, I checked it again. Oh, Baruch Hashem, here's your baby. So the mother says to this girl, I said, I have to ask you. You don't know me and I don't know you. Why did you take the time and the effort to spend hours trying to find my baby? You don't even know who I am. So she turned to the mother and she said, because Leib Kletzky was my brother. When a person is put in a situation in life, sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I here? Sometimes we're here because Hashem is trying to tweak us. This is why my friends Nakuda. Hashem is trying to make us a better person. So he says, sometimes we could do it on our own. Sometimes Hashem kind of pushes us in the direction to become a better person. So Noach taught us that when a person comes through difficult times, it's not because Hashem is punishing you. It's Hashem is trying to make you a better you. He's trying to tweak you. He's trying to polish you. He's trying to make you better in your world. And therefore, Hashem puts us sometimes through difficult nesyanis. And through the difficult nesyanis, we become better people. But I mentioned that the Chumash here, it's worth mentioning for those who didn't listen online. That was a subtle note, but okay. In any case, there's a Gevaldik Gevar from the Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer writes, and I think it's an important lesson in life. It's worth repeating. The Ksav Sefer writes, the reason why Noach didn't do outreach to the community was because Noach had a family to be worried about. Noach had three sons. It wasn't easy raising three sons in the time of the Dara Mabul. And Noach said to himself, "My family has to come first. I have to first raise my children, and then I can worry about." Says Zalman Tzurotskin, do you know why Avraham Avinu had no children for so many years? Because Avraham Avinu needed to do something else with his time. He needed to go out to the college campuses. He needed to go out to the streets. So he couldn't have done it if he had little small children at home. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in a way that Avraham Avinu had more flexibility, had more time. Noach had three boys. It's not easy raising three boys. Says Ksav Sofer, the reason why Noach did not go out and do the kiruv that Avraham Avinu did was because he had a different responsibility. He had a different job. He had to raise his three boys. I think it's an important lesson in life. Very often you find people that they want to save the world. They want to help every community, every organization, and Nebuch, the kids lose out. Their father's never home. He's never there to help them. He's never there involved with their life. It's really not correct. The first thing is you have to worry about your children. Then afterwards, if your children are already raised or there's enough time to go around, the Vada, people should be involved in Tzarechei Rabbim, 100%. But very often you see people that they're changing the world, they're motivating the world, and their kids, and Nebuch, they fall through the cracks. There's no time for them. And that's why, I said the story also with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Rav under Tsarist Russia. And for 16 years, he was the Rav in the town of Luban. And it was very hard there. They made his life miserable, the Russians. They cut his salary, they cut the mikvah. They made it very hard for him. So when Rav Moshe came to his Baal Batim, after 16 years, he said, that's it. I'm packing out, I'm going to America. They said, why? So he said, because my children's chinuch is a threat. I'm okay with giving up everything for the tzibah, but not my children. If I can't raise my children over here, I'm out. And the Moshe moved to America. Such a big difference between what we saw that happened last week with this Meshuggah terrorist, who not only does he allow himself to be killed, he takes his kids with him. That's the opposite of Yidden. Yidden, we care so much about our children, we give up everything for our children. This Moshchis, who decided to get himself killed instead of being killed by the Americans, not only did he take his life, he took his kids with him. That's the difference between our education and their education. But I think it's an important lesson that we can all learn from Noach, that we have to learn from Noach, that the ups and downs in life are not a punishment, but really just a way of making us better. And the second lesson, I think, is also very important, that very often in life, we get very busy with many other things, and we forget about our family first, and it often comes at a cost, where the children don't always appreciate, they don't always see what their parents are doing, they don't get it, they always feel second-class citizens, they always feel less important. So it's something that's worth mentioning. I mentioned this in the share. That's why if I'm ever late to a share, it's because I'm taking care of my kids. Now you all know why I'm ever late. Okay, fine. Let's get back to the Gemara over here.
Huh? We heard the last part.
Okay, good. Okay, we're back over here in the Gemara. Okay, we're back over here in the Gemara, where the Gemara talks about, we have a kash over here. We have a din of cutting off a mila, while by doing so you're going to be cutting off a tzaras. So we know there's a violation to cut off a tzaras. And there's a mitzvah to cut off a milah. So the Gemara has a kasha. There's an extra passing in the Torah. The Torah says the word bisar, that you're supposed to cut off the bisar. So the Gemara learns from here that you're supposed to cut off a milah bitzaras, even though by cutting the milah off, you'll be cutting off the tzaras. So the Gemara has a kasha. We'll start off over here, where the Gemara has a kasha. The third line, the Gemara, we'll start from the beginning. Dr. Gemara, Abaya alibid Reb Shimon. Abaya according to Reb Shimon. Who's Abaya and who's Reb Shimon? Abaya holds that, Reb Shimon holds Davish Ein Meschavin is mutter. Reb Shimon's of the opinion, if I do something without the intention, then it's mutter. So if I'm going to cut off the Mila, and I'm not intending to cut off the Tzaras, so that wouldn't be a problem. So if so, and we don't yet know there's something called the psik resha. So why do I need a pasuk to permit me to cut off the tzarat? The mila, it's automatically mutter. Why? Because when I cut off the mila, I have absolutely no intention of cutting off the tzarat. So it's a davishen mischavin. Davishen mischavin, it's mutter, and we didn't yet know about psik resha. So Gemara says, so why do I need a pasuk? So Amalei Rama, but oima lakas beirasa, who mischavin? The Gemara is talking about a case where the nimol, the baby, who's an adult, who's getting a bismila, he says he wants to have kavana for that. So Gemara says, Tena Godlo, comes to Michael Meimar. That's this what I want to talk about. So what about a katan? You have an 8-day-old baby. So why do I need a pasuk? Zok to Gemara, Amar Rav Misharishwe, but Amar Avia Ben Lokutz Beheras de Benoi, who comes Chavin. We're talking about a case where the father is the moil of the baby, and the father makes a loud declaration, I want to make my child a Tohar. The father tells us that when I'm cutting off my baby's Mila, I'm talking Mischavin Litzaras. The father makes it very clear to us. The father is the moil, and he tells us that I, when I'm cutting off my child's tzaras, my intention is what? My intention is to make him tar. So now we have a problem. Now that the father is mechavin to cut off the tzaras, it's no longer an edim mechavin. If it's no longer an edim mechavin, it should be aser. Comes along the pasuk of Besar, and the pasuk of Besar says it's now mut. That's what the Gemara is cheshb. Now, frak the Gemara, 1 second. The ika acher la aver acher. So why don't you just get another mile? The problem over here is the father. The father is a corrupted male. He wants to make his son tar. So let's hire Pesach Kron. And he doesn't think about being mitar the baby. He could care less about the baby. So let's hire another male. Let another male do it. Why do I have to violate the Torah if I can do it in another way? Let someone else do the mila.
But if the male is the
shliach,
the
father,
and it's...
That's what we're going to get to. That's what we're going to get to in a few minutes. How is this going to even help? If you're going to make a shliach, so you're back to square one. We learned this last week. That the kavana of the father plus the shlichos can become a problem anyways, based on the Mishnah Lamelech. Okay, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But what's the Gemara's kasha? Let someone else do it. So the Ritva is a very partial to kasha. Why doesn't someone just knock some sense into the father? Tell the father, stop thinking this. Right, the father is going to be the male. Right? And the father says, I'm thinking to tell. So the rabbi should tap the father on the shoulder and say, Rabbi, dude, you're not allowed to think this way. Stop thinking that. Why do I have to get another person? So what's the answer? You can't change people think the way they want to think, right? That's the answer. So you can't stop the way people want to think. So the ritva has this kasha. Says the ritva, the lav lememra ba'omar beheja. Says the ritva, it's not the pshat the father makes a proclamation. We assume the father thinks this. Unbelievable chiddush in the Gemara. Even though the Gemara, what was the words of the Gemara? But Amar Havi Aben, where the father says, Lokut Beheres Tebnoi, who comes Chavin, that I'm intending to do it. Says Ritva, you don't need an Amir from the father. Let's say, according to Ritva, let's say the father doesn't say a word. He just shows up to the Milo. The Ritva assumes the father's automatically thinking he wants to be Matar, his son. It's a big chiddush in the Gemara. I wouldn't have read that until the words of the Gemara. I read the Gemara's Kipruta. But Omar, the father makes a proclamation. Meaning, without the father telling us, I would think the father is a firm guy, and he's not doing it for the wrong reasons.
The Ritva should say, Ka'amar. It's as if.
All right, right, right. Right. The Lashon of the Gemara is not mashma like this, Ritva.
He's interpreting the Gemara, or he's getting a chiddush?
He's reading, he's saying that when the Gemara says those words, it doesn't mean that you have to say it. It means it's Ki'ilu he said it. Because since every father wants to make his son tahar, it's Ki'ilu he said it to us. We know. He calls it, it's an Anan Sahadi. The Anan Sahadi, number 2 in the Ritva. The Anan Sahadi, the Nichle Lokot HaBeheresh, Shloi B'nai Mitzvah. Every father wants his son not to be a Mitzvah. That's every father's deep down dream. So therefore says the Ritva, even if the father never says it to us, but since every father knows that, and every father thinks that, it's automatically, so therefore you're stuck. Okay, it's a big chiddush in the Gemara. I wouldn't have learned the Gemara that way. I would have learned that every father knows the halachas, and he knows that you're not allowed to do this. And therefore, why would he want to set his son up why would he set himself up to do an aveir? But then the Ritva says, "V'hainu d'loy parchina v'la'avi b'loy kavana." And Dr. Ritva, according to me, it answers the other kasha. What's the Gemara's kasha? Have someone else do it. So I asked you, why do you have to have someone else do it? Just someone sit down the father and tell the father, you're not allowed to do this. Says Ritva, because you can't change it. Every father across the world will always be mechamet to be mitaris son. It's impossible.
So he's going like the Mishnah Lamelech. They're insane. It's no. That the machshava.
No, but here the father's the moil.
No, but I'm saying to give it out as another moil.
Oh, I'll get to that. Good. Yeah, good. Good. We're going to get to that in a second. Right, that's going to connect. So according to the Ritva, the Pshat in the Gemara is that every father across the board, when he gives his son a bris milah, has a tzvas, it's impossible to change his mind. I think the other achranim say no. How do you know he's going to change his mind? If he expressed one way, it's like, once he expressed one way, now he's going to have to redo it. How do you know he's telling the truth? But the Ritva is learning a big chiddush in the Gemara. The Ritva is learning, you can't change that thought process. Every father in every situation thinks a certain way, and therefore it's not fixable. Okay. So the Gemara's kasha was, so let another mile go. If you can have another mile, that's going to be okay. Another mile definitely is not thinking that. So the Gemara says, what's the mile of having another mile? Whenever you come into a situation, so we have a rule. If you can make the both of them work, if you don't have to violate the assay, mutav, that's terrific. The loisase, mutav, that's terrific. If not, then yavi assay v'yitcha. But for the Gemara over here, I can make it work. Why do I need a special heter from the Torah to permit such a bismillah? Circumvent the problem. How do you circumvent the problem? Take another mile. If you take another mile, there's no loisase, and everything is good to go. And for the Gemara, deleka acher, there's no other mile. You live in a community where there's no other mile. It's dad or nobody. Okay. So for the Rebbeinu Chananel, so wait. You'll fly a mile in. You'll ship a mile in. Why can't you wait? Wait. There's got to be a mile at some point will come. Someone was just telling me they were in Houston. There's no mile in Houston proper. So they have to fly a mile. I was surprised. I thought Houston's a pretty big community. I thought
there's a whole kernel.
So, yeah. Not everyone the kernel. Not everyone the kernel. But they fly people in. But
they don't have to.
So here's the shaila. How important is Yom HaShmini? How important is Yom HaShmini? Okay, the Gemara is saying over here that we're trying to make the Aseh and the Lois Aseh work together. The question is, if I was to delay the Bris Milah to day 15, would I still be losing out on the Aseh? So Rabbi Nechananel writes, a Chiddush. We talked a lot about this. The Bris Milah is kosher after day 8 as well. There's a preferred time on day 8, but the Aseh is the same Aseh afterwards. Okay, we talked about the other.
Aren't you getting a lot for every minute that you don't
if do it's not, if you're unable, if you're able and you don't, if you're unable. Depends who's getting the lav, if there is the karis, who gets it, or when do you get it? Maybe you don't get it if it's not shaykh. You can't do the bris milah. There's no one here that can do it.
If the taras clears up, you
Yeah. He talks about a different shaykh. That was the machlokes with the Dvar Avram, whether or not every minute that you delay a shleib ismani bris, you're getting, you're being over an isser. That's why some people like to make the shleib ismani bris soon, earlier in the day rather than later. That was Moshe Weiss's opinion, yeah. But, Zakhtar Rabbeinu Chananel, look what he says. He says, second line in number 3, uparkin on the leka acher, ve'im nemer lahamtin achiyovi acher v'yimol. Frank Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't have the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer was, there's no mile. Fine, so wait till you get a mile. When you wait to get a mile, this way you won't have to violate any Isurim to do the mitzvah. The Gemara's cash is we want to ensure that Isurim and Aseis don't have to come in conflict. So the only way to do that is to have another mile. Fact, there's no other mile. So wait for another mile. Wait till day 15 when the guy comes on the plane, and then you'll do the milah without any Isurim. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, no. You can't do that. Because then you'll be mavatal and Asei called the B'yom HaShmini. Now, we never learned like that. We always thought the B'yom HaShmini just means you have to, the Asei of the Bris Milah is preferred to be B'yom HaShmini. If you can't do B'yom HaShmini, you do it the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Here, Rabbi Chana's Tongas is a big Chiddush. Rabbi Chana's Tongas is a specific Asei called B'yom HaShmini. And if by violating, delaying the Bris, you'll not have it on the day 8th day, that will be a bitul Asei.
So according to Rabbeinu Chananel, shouldn't it be two essays being Deichel?
No, it's the same essay. He'll wrap it all as one. Oh. The essay of Mila is do it on the 8th day. That's not the way we learned. It's a big Chiddush from Rabbeinu Chananel.
It doesn't mean practically there's no one there, but anyone you bring in, you're going to have the same result. So it's as if there's no one else.
Why?
The father's still going to pull the same answer.
Oh, okay, we didn't see how...
Or it could be Ritva, then for sure. Makes
no, it could be Ritva's very geshmak, because another guy's not thinking that.
No, like
Acher,
but the father's always
going to
be.
If it's a Ritva, we didn't see yet. According to Pashup Shah and the Gemara, like Acher, so the question you're asking, so where's the dad going to work its way in? So we'll see, that might be Machlok Zorin. We basically don't tell dad about this. We invite him only afterwards.
Well, for
we give him the bill afterwards, right? We'll see.
Good.
Okay, that's what I want to get to right now. So let's see Rashi number 4. So again, so we have the Gemara. The Gemara says that let's use someone else. Let's get the father out of the equation. The father is the troublemaker. Why is the father the troublemaker? Because he's the one that's injecting the wrong kavanah. So get the dad out of the equation. Because according to Ritva, there's no way to reprogram dad. The only option would be is to get dad out of the equation. So get another mile. What do we gain by that? So Rashi, a very, very difficult Rashi. Says Rashi number 4. V'ika acher, she'ene choshesh letaro, who doesn't care to be matar him. Yesh lo, if this line means he's arguing on the Ritva. Because the Ritva assumed that the father always is thinking that. Here it sounds like, well, we don't think he's thinking about it. Why would I think a stranger is thinking about being Matarim? The Ritva made it sound like that fathers always think it, but other people don't think it. Why do I care to be Matar your baby? Here the Rashi sounds like, what's the mile of another person? We don't suspect that he thinks about being Matarim. La'avid acher. Let another person do the milo. V'loileiki av lahasam. And the dad won't be there. What does that have to do with anything? The dad won't be there. So what are you going to do? You're going to have a bris milah in a closed room, where you're going to bring in a mile. The mile's going to do the milah, and dad won't be near there.
Who's going to pay the bill,
though? Okay, that may be
Bezdin. That's my bad. It's connected to Ksav Sofer with Parshas Noach. Here you have to be involved with your kid.
Oh, we're going to get to it. So Grashi, Vafagav...
This is so Pasha.
if your kid has saras, I feel bad about that. I'm in the mile.
Okay.
Who says you
but again, but you know there's an issue.
You'll see it.
But the question is, but you know that you're not allowed to do that. You know, a father has compassion, and he does. Sometimes his compassion overtakes halacha. The male, hopefully, I don't know. Rashi's assuming, and I think the Ritva is assuming that anyone else besides the father is not thinking about being metarim because he knows it's aser. You know, it's aser to do. So, but the question wasn't me v'loy leki avlo hasim. Dad shouldn't be there. What's that going to change the equation? Dad's not going to be there, and therefore what? So if you look over here, number 4 and number 5, the Prima Gadim in Yoredeya, Simon Chav Ches, that's the Simon over there that talks about Shechita. He quotes a Tvur Shar. Who is a Tvur Shar? Anyone ever went for Shechita? Okay, no one does Shechita anymore. We don't do so much Shechita anymore. Tvur Shar wrote a Sefer called Lechem B'Simla. It's a very popular Sefer on Shechita. Anyone who ever goes for Shechita has to memorize, it's like the Kesis HaSefer on Safras. Right? There are certain Sfarim that were written that just became the accepted go-to Sfarim that everyone learns, even though they don't learn so much Kesis HaSefer anyways for the Seferim. But the Lechem B'Simla was a popular Sefer written by the Tvur Shar. He lived in the 1700s. So he wrote a Sefer all about Shechita, but he wrote another Sefer called Tvur Shar. So in the Sefer Tvur Shar, he brings a right from this Gemara that what? That you're allowed to use a Shliach for Mila. We started talking last week, and a father who's able to be a mile. Father's a trained surgeon, he's a trained mile, but he's not interested. He wants to be mechabit someone else with the mila. Is that permissible? So some people hold no. If the father can do it, he has to do it himself. So the Tvur Shor brings a right from this Gemara that obviously you can make a shliach. Why? He says, because what was the Gemara's cheshbon? Let someone else do it. What do you mean, let someone else do it? But if the father, obviously the father is capable of doing it in this Gemara, how can he pass it on to someone else? Terry says, you could. It's not the end of the world if you pass it on to someone else.
He's doing it for a particular reason.
Okay, good. We'll talk about it. So he writes over here, Vini Rashi Pirish, La'aver Achiv, Olaleke Av Hasim. So the Prima Gadim, the Tvur Shor, is also bothered. The Prima Gadim is bothered. What does it mean that the father shouldn't be here? What does that change the equation? So he writes, V'yira di'iko Av Hasim, Havishliach di'day. He says, like the Mishnah Melech we saw many weeks ago, that what if the father is going to be standing around during the Milo, that's going to make the father as if he's Mimane, the Moil as a Shliach. If he's Mimane, the Shliach as a the Moil as a Shliach, so now the Shliach is the Moil. The Moil's using my intention. My intention and his actions come together.
So is that true?
Yes, the Mishnah Melech thinks it's true. Yeah, others disagree. Others disagree.
So you're my shaliach to do the bris.
That's right.
But my negative thoughts can also...
That was the opinion of the Mishnah Melech. Reb Shimon disagreed. Reb Shimon said those two things don't cross lines. The action is the action, the thoughts are the thoughts. Those two don't cross. Yeah.
Is it actually the person himself?
Right, so if you assume like the Mishnah Melech, that was the Mishnah Melech's two terutzim. The Mishnah Melech had one terutz that if either party is involved, if one of the two parties have the bad intention, it makes it no good. His other terutz was no. It works with shlichus. So therefore, Zok, the Mishnah says the Tvur Shor over here. If the dad is standing, but here's the one thing that doesn't
mean that the father's there or not.
Exactly. That's the big question. That's the Prima Gadim's kasha. What difference does it make if you're worried about shlichus, so the father could be standing here, could be in another room, he could be across the other side of the world. If he's functioning as my shliach, then he is my shliach. Exactly. You don't have to be standing there to be a shliach. So Frek the Prima Gadim, the last two lines, he writes to Kafia near Midvarov, the Cholzman Deloy Omar Av Shom after Bishluchus Ekovid Layava. You see from Rashi that the Nekuda is not whether or not I appointed him or not appointed him, it's whether or not I'm standing there. So Frek the Prima Gadim, what difference does it make? Veini Yedea Mali Im Omar Shom Oiloya. What difference does it make where you're standing? If the Pshat the Gemara was the Ovid Acha means the father will appoint another person, if that's what the Gemara means, so who cares where the father is going to be standing? If the father appoints the Shliach, so then he's acting as a Shliach, so then the father's bad intention will connect. And if he didn't make him a Shliach, they didn't make him a Shliach. Why is the father standing have any bearing on how this works? It's a Gevaldik Kasha that the Prima Gadim has in Rashi.
Can a Shliach appoint a Shliach?
Usually not. Usually not. He doesn't have that type of power.
So the father has to appoint the second person.
Now, correct.
Because if the shliach could appoint another shliach, then maybe the negative thoughts of the father
doesn't
go to the next guy.
Right. Maybe not. That's the question. That's the machlokes pashtus between the ktsoisa and Reb Shimon. The ktsoisa and the Mishnah Melech assume they all go together. I become you, you become me. It's a whole package. Reb Shimon says no. I become you to do the action. The kavanas are the kavanas. They don't transfer.
Reb Shimon,
Yeah. Chedusha Reb Shimon. No.
And I thought so.
No. Chedusha Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Shkab. We mentioned this 2 weeks ago.
Reb Shimon.
We mentioned this Reb Shimon a couple times. Reb Shimon Shkab, he's masbah that he doesn't agree with this lumnus. He thinks that the two things are split. I make you a shliach to do an action, but the kavanas don't transfer. Right. Kavanas are my kavanas.
I was thinking if the av isn't there, it's really only Medina Sayyar. Yeah. He doesn't really know about the tsaras. He's at the point of you as a.
So you're saying he's a. Yeah, and then we'd have no problem. If Itaka doesn't know what's going on. The Gemara's talking about the father already knows. And then we take the father out. We say, I'm sorry, you can't be the Moel. So the Gemara says, appoint someone else. Who's appointing him? So let's see one second. Yeah.
Anyway,
there's no segregation. That's correct.
There's no segregation. None of this matters.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned from the Rush and the Aruch, right?
Take the whole shot.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Halacha is for Tuesday night. No, he's just quoting the two Ashar's Kasha. He's not. I don't think he's quoting this Lahalacha. Yeah, so if you look over on the next page, I forgot to add it on the right side, but number 5b on the back side, there's a Marsham. The Marsham was the famous Reb Shalom Shadron. His grandson was the famous Reb Shalom Shadron. But the Marsham was the first famous Reb Shalom Shadron who wrote Shailos and Tshuvas. He lived at the turn of the 20th century. So he wrote a lot of Tshuvas, but he has a commentary on the Shas, so on Gemara. So he's bothered with Akasha. And he comes up with an interesting chiddush. He writes like this in number 5b. The Chayr Eina Muvin. Lom Hutzich Rashi Goleika Avlasim. The same kasha as the Prima Gadim. What difference does it make where the father standing? If the father appoints him, he's a shliach. If he's not appointed, he's not a shliach. The father's standing is irrelevant. So he writes like this. Mitzarech Leimer. The Torah in Hilchas Mila, the Torah has a shita Isur b'shem balo iter. He quotes from the iter that there was a minog shavia ben oimer ala moil. There's a minog that we do today also. The father always stands next to the moil by the bris. Lo hidia, why? Shehu shluchai. It's an expression that you are my messenger. Like the Gemara says, by a carbon, the Gemara has this line, how can you bring a carbon and you're not standing there? You have to be with your carbon. So we know that some sefer has a truth about this, that everyone knows that a bismillah is like a carbon, and therefore you want to be standing there even though he's your messenger. Normally if I send a messenger, I don't want to be there. That's why I'm sending him. Because if I wanted to be there, I would do it myself. But over here, no, I'm standing next to the mail to express that he's working on my behalf. So says the Marsham, Rashi holds. So if the father points him a shliach, after lo isa achel nichalek tzitzas abers. Again, the other party, the shliach, could care less to be matar the baby. Since he's working as a shliach, it's like the father did the mila. He's saying that the lomz of shlichus is that when I hire a moil, I am the moil. I become him. So now if I become him, so I'm doing the action with my treifa kavanas. So now I'm doing a milo shalai with the wrong kavanas. So he said, "Mimela rovi yala avgam isedik tizis beharis." The nichalei the yevshel the chalik hashlichas achatan. You can't split the shlichas into two. The name of the enish shlucha rakli chatichas arul of loy mashen nixas gam beharis. You can't say I only made you a shlich to cut the mila, not the tzaras. It's the whole thing. Cut the area. Okay, fine. V'chad ma'isihi shlucha lomov avkilo av oisu kol ma'isi. V'imkein leko te'el is mashem mo'al acher. So there's no reason you don't gain anything by someone else being the moil. So what was the Gemara's kasha? He says the Gemara's kasha was not that the father will appoint another person. La'aved achad doesn't mean the father will then hire a moil. It means he'll have another guy come. Rak ba'atzmoy. Another person will come on his own. Bezdin will be in the background and say, yo, you're a moil, come here. You take this baby, go to the back room, we're giving a meal. Because we have Allah, the Gemara says in Kedushin, if the father doesn't do his job, so then the Bezin steps in. So Zok the Masham, the Pshat over here, the Gemara was not E of La Acher. He says, that can't be here, because then dad will be thinking or functioning as the one making the shlich. We don't want dad making the shlich. We want him to be a shlich of Bezdin. We want the moil to be acting as a good Samaritan, not coming from the father. So the way the Masham learns it, the kadei loyleki hasam is a fancy way of saying dad's not making the shlich. Because if dad were to make the shlich, we're back to square one. So the Gemara is saying, let someone else do the mila, not as a shlich of the father, but as a secondary role, where the Gemara says, if the father doesn't do his job, so now Bezdin steps up.
Standing right next to him, looks at him. Who knows that Bezdin was money?
No, he's saying, well, like you asked him, means the father's not going to be in the equation over here. It's a fancy way of saying the father's not going to be making a shlech. I would have wrote it differently.
Yeah, why would I?
I would have said it a little differently.
The distinction between making a condition of shlechos and the thought of shlechos, because once he says that you're the moel, right? So isn't that shlechos chal? And then, I also, in my mind, I'm having.
So that's the machlokes. The Mishnah Melech says.
But it's not a condition, it's a thought after the fact that he points. So this question is a shlechos chal prior to that? In its proper.
No, but the argument they'll make is that once I become you and you become me, so now I'm doing a mila with my bad intentions. Because that's what Shluchas Shalom Kamaisi means.
I'm saying that. No, I'm saying the question is when you're pointing the shlichus, it's not what it was. It wasn't the condition that you expressed in the shlichus.
I didn't say cut off the behalf.
Right, right. But that's his argument. That's what my Hashem is saying. My Hashem is saying, but you can't have one without the other, because cutting off the milah automatically means cutting off the tzaras. So I made you a shlich to do this action. So that's the shlichus. Now I become you because of the shlichus, and now my intention goes into the action. Now we have a sixtisis beharis. That's how the Hashem says it.
The Hashem is not on Rashi and certainly not on the Gemara.
No, he's learning. According to this, you're going to have to learn when the Gemara says, le'avet acher, let someone else do it. It doesn't mean that the father appoints someone else, because then that would back to square one. Mm-hmm. The father, it means someone else.
Basically, grabs the kid.
That's right, that's right.
Dad, you stay here.
That's right.
We'll take care
that's of right. That's right. That's why the Masham learns the Gemara. Because if you don't learn the Gemara that way, you get back to square one.
Actually, in fact, it reads very well. It doesn't say what the father should.
That's right. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Le'avet acher. Right? The Gemara, ve'ika acher, le'avet acher. Let someone else do it. Let someone else facilitate this procedure. Okay. So let's go back to the shayla that we started talking about last week, and we'll come up again. This idea, can the father make a shlech to do the meal? Obviously, if the father can't do the meal himself, I definitely suggest he makes a shlech. But let's say the father could. He's a trained medical professional. He does this all day long in the hospital. But when it comes to his son, he doesn't want to do it. Is there anything wrong with that? So the Darki Moshe, number 6, quotes an Urzurua. The Urzurua writes, if the father happens to be a trained male, Osir, he writes. Osir, very strong word. Osir, lite in the mahal acher. You're not allowed to give him over to another mahal. What isir is there?
This is a normal situation.
Regular situation, no fancy anything. The father's the father's a trade mahal, but let's say, I don't know, his Rebbe's here, and he wants to be mechabed his Rebbe with...
Good advice to do a surgery on your own family.
It's not good advice?
No, the
issue
was
on
a father.
Standard medical. No,
I'm saying...
Standard medical,
right. You know, so he writes over here, so he says, Osir. So we're going to have to figure out, what's Osir about this? Maybe you tell me it's not Mahudr, because why? What would be wrong with it? So we have a rule, mitzvah, boy, yisim, b'shluch. Whenever mitzvah comes your way, if you can do the mitzvah yourself, it's better than passing it on to someone else. Good. So you'll tell me this fellow's in a violation of mitzvah, yisim. That's Osir? You don't say Osir by mitzvah, by yisim, b'shluch. Let's say a guy's very handy, knows how to build the sukkah. But he's not interested. He'd rather hire a kid to do it, so he saves time. You can tell me the guy was over an Isser? Of course, it wasn't like this. He was Mavato, the Milo of. If it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, it's a Shiloh. We talked about this last week. Yeah, we'll talk about it again this week. It's a Bachloikis, whether or not it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah or it's just sit in the sukkah. But if you hold, let's say, building a sukkah is a mitzvah, so you're a very handy guy. You can build all day long. You're not interested.
Why shofar is a better example, right?
Why?
I'm
saying. Blowing shofar, the mitzvah is to listen, it's not to blow. So if the mitzvah is to listen, so then you're going to do the same. You have to find the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do it. Well, what's another example?
And
it's not a mitzvah shebegufa. Then you don't have shlichus, right? Right. You obviously, you can't hire someone to put on tefillin for you. That's the taste of it in kedushin. Right. The Gemara talks.
If you hold marrying a woman.
Right. Right. Let's say the example the Gemara says in kedushin, beginning of the second parak, kibud va'inig. Set up the house, cleaning up the house, shopping, things like that are mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Rava used to do some of the Shabbos prep themselves. Why? Because that's mitzvah by Yisrael Rishlucha. You want to prep for Shabbos. Instead of hiring someone else to do it, they would do it themselves.
Wait,
my wife. Exactly. That's mitzvah by Yisrael Rishlucha.
Ishta
Kigufa, right. So the Arzurua is quoted as saying that it's important to remember why it's the Arzurua. Because we're going to see from the Marach Arzurua. The Marach Arzurua was the son of the Arzurua. So the Arzurua writes, Osur Lite in the Malach. You're not allowed to give it to another male. Frech the Daiki Moshe, frech the Amar, but Sarachin. Maishnam a mitzvah acheres. Why is this different than any other mitzvah? The Yochel Asi Shlechem Kemoy. I could punt on any other mitzvah, give it to someone else. I can send the Shlechem
to anything. The Shlechem doesn't work.
Well, what's the Usher?
To do it. You're not allowed to be Mamanet, but it doesn't mean it won't.
Okay, good. No, his question is, what we don't find by other mitzvahs, it's Usher to be Mamanet Shlech. Here he's a Din Usher. So we'll see the Tvua Shar is bothered by this Lashon Usher. My Isser Shaykh, what Isser can there be? Also means like you're violating something. What are you violating? You're violating the code of mitzvah by Yosef and Shulchan. So let's see.
Well, didn't we bring down way back that there was a machlokes of what's the mitzvah in the milah? Is it
right now? We're going to get to that one more time right now. So there's a famous piece in the Marach Arzurua. Marach Arzurua was the son of the Arzurua. The Marach Arzurua writes like this in Simon Yud Alf. He writes, "Me'inyan amila nira de'eino av chayiv lomol b'noi biyadav." Most people, if you ask them, what is the mitzvah of milah? So the answer is the mitzvah of milah is to cut off the milah. Now, the father can do it himself if he's trained. If he's not trained, he hires a shliach, and it's ki'ilu, the father cuts off the milah. Most people, 9 out of 10 people on the street, they'll ask them, the mitzvah of milah is what? It's the chatichas ha'orla. Says the Marach Arzurah, that is absolutely not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not cutting off the orla. So what is the mitzvah? He writes, ela la'asoik, sheyia nimol. It's to busy to get to the final result. It's not the cutting. It's the final result that on the end of the eighth day, this baby is arlulus.
Didn't we learn that it's really the baby's responsibility, but he's too young to do
it? Yeah, that's some of the rage that we spoke about. That maybe that's part of the lumdus. Whose chiv is it? Is it really the baby's chiv? Is it the father's chiv? We talked about this type of svara. But this is a mafurish rishon. He writes that it's the end result. But listen to this. Because if you remember, the Mishnah in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes has a whole list of things the father has to do. One of them is Mila, one of them is Pedi Aben, one of them is Talmud Torah, one of them is Umnes, and one of them is getting married. So he writes, all those things, and swimming, how do these things work? The father does it himself. The father sits down and teaches his son how to swim, and the father teaches, oh, the father hires someone. Aye, shlichas, no shlichas. The point is, my kid needs to have a trait. How he learns it, not my problem. I don't have to be the one to teach him. He's got to learn it. If he can pick it up on the streets, good, fine. My kid has to learn how to swim. Does that mean I have to hire swimming lessons? No. He's got to figure it out. Now, if I teach it to him or someone else teaches him, he picks up from his friends, who cares? It's a final result-based program. That's how the Marachos...
Hierarchy of Sanhedrin and, you know,
that's only after the fact. That's if the father does not ensure that final product is resulted...
So it should be anybody here.
Well, I don't have a chiyuv to worry about your chiyuv. I mean, the chiyuv to worry about other people's children is the father, then secondary on the bezdin. And now here's where it gets interesting. He says, "Oy besukkis." Same thing with sukkis. Dichsiv chaga sukkis tasa. The pasuk says chaga sukkis tasa. V'dashin and tasa v'lemon also. We learn from here that you have to build it. It can't be built on its own. Imkain al korchach koi tasa asuka. The world making is going on the sukkah. Shachay ba'atzmai lase sukkah. This is what some people do learn. Some people learn that from this pasuk, "Chagas sukkah is tase," means you have a mitzvah to build the sukkah. Says the Maharaj HaZura, no, you don't. V'chila yoyim alacha lase sukkah. You can't tell someone else to build the sukkah. But "Chagas sukkah is tase" means you have to have a sukkah come sukkahs. How you have it, I don't care. You build it, you hire someone to build it, your wife builds it, a worker builds it, we don't care. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the building of the sukkah. The mitzvah is having a sukkah to then be able to sit in the sukkah. The mitzvah is, if you hold that the Torah tell you there is a mitzvah, the mitzvah is to have a sukkah. Then saying the sukkah will be a separate mitzvah. So, yeshiva b'sukkah is a separate mitzvah.
So yeah. Then why does the pasuk use the lashon chag sukkahs ta'ase? It's mashma that the mitzvah
is
in the
instrument. Ta'ase means, teach me that the building is a chelik of the, is important. Who builds it, we don't care about. I mean, since we learned ta'ase v'loyman also, so we see the Torah does care how it's built. But the Torah doesn't care who builds it.
Torah's so according to this, ta'ase v'loyman also means if you have a year-round sukkah, you can't use it? You know, let's say you have a year old sukkah.
That's exactly, the thing, right? You have to mechadish something. You have to do something new. Yeah.
So how does that work? So
that's a sukkah yoshi.
Means you have to have your own. You can't use your neighbor.
Oh, so according to this,
well, you couldn't go to a hotel.
Exactly. According to this, it's taka. Again, you're allowed to, and you'll be yoitz in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, but you're missing out on a mitzvah, right? Exactly. According to him, if you never put up your own sukkah and you always just go to other people's sukkah, you're missing out on the mitzvah of tasa sukkah.
Or if you go to a hotel.
If you go to a hotel, so maybe they give you bailus in the sukkah. Maybe they'll give you ownership in the sukkah. Maybe. But according to this, it comes out that there's a separate mitzvah of not only sitting in the sukkah, but building a sukkah. Pass a sukkah means you're supposed to build a sukkah.
Or making sure the sukkah is built.
Right. So he writes it this. All these mitzvahs, it's not about the doing it. It's final result. Have a mila on your body. The final result is have somewhere to sit. Tefillin is you should have tefillin on your arm and on your head. How you get there? Not my problem.
Somebody can put it on for you.
Somebody can put it on. Even though there is a shayla, can women put it on for you if they're not kshira and ksiva?
You don't have to own it either.
Pasha's not, right? It doesn't have to be yours. Umila gam hi ikar mitzvah. So he came. Gavaldi gechish from the Racha Azura. Mila is not about the cutting. Now, one second. According to this, this is clearly against his father. What was his father's chiddush? That I have to have a shlich. Well, who needs shlichus for anything? The whole mitzvah of meal is the final result. Who cares who does the final result? His father, the Azurua, wrote that if I'm the father, I need to come out to shlichus. Who needs shlichus according to the Maharach Azurua? You don't need to do anything. You just need to ensure that at the end of the day the kids give out. So this Maharach Azurua is clearly arguing on his father. His father was getting into the realm of shlichus. Do you make a shlich? Who needs shlichus according to the Maharach Azurua? If a father wakes up on the eighth day and all of a sudden he finds that he goes to the baby's crib and the baby's gemalt, so the father's done. His mitzvah's over. The baby's gemalt. I didn't do it, and I didn't appoint you. Who cares? You have a baby that has no longer an arlo. According to Maharach HaZura, that is the entire mitzvah. That's the chiddush of the Maharach HaZura. So according to him, we definitely don't need to start talking about, can I make a shliach? Can I make a shliach? I don't even need to make a shliach. According to him, if I would walk over to a mile and not make him a shliach, and he would just do it as a favor, and there's no shlichus, there's no appointing, there's no this, right? Many times you go to a bris, the mile will get up and say, I'm acting as your shliach. And you'll say, yes, you're acting as my shliach. According to this, you don't need that. Don't be my shliach.
You get around any shliach.
You get around everything because then there's no shlichus. Now, according to him, will I lose out on my mitzvah? No, because my mitzvah is to ensure that my kids get gemal. I ensured that because I hired you. Now, you didn't become my lomdash shliach. Who cares? But at the end of the day, you did the meal and my kid is gemal. So he brings another raya, and this is something we spoke about many times in the beginning of the sugya. Right, this is the 50th shir on Mila. So we spoke about that, I think, in some of the earlier shurim. I don't know how many months ago that is, but it's a while back. So he writes of the famous Gemara. Gemara says that David HaMelech went to the Beis HaMerechos, and David went to the Beis HaMerechos, he was all depressed, until he saw his Mila, and all of a sudden he was happy. So the obvious question is, what made him so happy about his Mila? His Bris Mila was done 30 years ago. That's old news. Right, why didn't David HaMelech look at his arm and say, oh, I see the straps on my tefillin, so I put on tefillin this morning, so I feel better. But what appeased David HaMelech by seeing his Mila? So Zakta Maracha Zerua, Shem Loikin David HaMelech Alashom, Shay Mitztar, Kishinich Lamechet, Vere Yatzme, Arun Belay Mitzvah, Nisker Al HaMila. Vim Loyah Mitzvah HaMila El HaSiyah, if the Mitzvah was the actual cutting, Lama Samech Allah Yasim Erech of Israel, Vachal Gufa Shekayim Mitzvah Tzil and Mitzvah Kama Mitzvah. What is he so happy about? Because 30 years ago his father did a Mitzvah on cutting off his Arla. What does that have to do today? Ela Mila Hi Mitzvah B'chol Eis. This is another chiddush. The Mila is a continuous mitzvah. The Beis HaLevi develops this. Ketfilin hamunachem b'roish v'tzitzis b'bigdai. What's the mitzvah of Mila? Is to have chosum b'bsara. To have that sign on your body. So we care about getting it, and every day that you have it, you're mekayim a mitzvah. So this is the chiddush ad marach harzuru, that the mitzvah of Mila is not the cutting, but it's the status, and that status continues on every day of a person's life. That's the chiddush ad marach harzuru, which l'chayra is against his father, the Orzuru. The Velt says over that that's the opinion
isn't
of the...
Isn't this also connected with what we said before? I don't know who we said it for, but was it Derach? It's connected Derach.
Why?
Because he said, let's say by the 8th day, you can wait to the 15th day if you don't have a mile. According to him, every second you're over...
They're not arguing that. They're just arguing about the mitzvahs. They don't argue about the fundamentals of what can you delay a bris. The question is, whose mitzvah? So again, the Gemara is saying that there's no moil. So the Rav says, fine. So wait till the answer is no. There's a mitzvah b'yom hashmini.
But according to the Maracha Zeru, wouldn't you be over every second?
According to everyone, you might be over every second. But it doesn't matter. I mean, this Maracha Zeru reads the Gemara beautifully. La'avarach means let someone else do it, and no problem. No shlichos. Anyone can do it.
The whole issue of
the father, right?
The bezna that falls away.
Falls out of the equation.
No, it's too good of an answer, because the father's intentions don't mean anything.
Because
there's no shlichus. That's why the Gemara is beautiful. When another party were to do the Mila...
Then what's the problem? Let's say the father has the worst intentions. Doesn't matter. You're not a shliach. I don't have the intention. I could do it.
Right. That's really the Gemara's kasha. Fact, come on, let someone else do it.
Even the father do
even
it.
Even to begin with. Let's say the father's standing there screaming. I want my son to
no, but he's...
The father is not a shliach. His intention is meaningless.
The moil is the half of the Gemara. The father was the moil. The half of the Gemara. The father was the moil. That was the half of the Gemara. The half of the Gemara was the father is the moil. Then the Gemara says, "No, let someone else be the moil." So according to this, it's beautiful.
So that's the half of the Gemara. So if the father is the moil himself,
so he's thinking bad thoughts.
So then his bad.
That's the Gemara.
Ensuring that his son is gemal. That's it. But the cutting is still an issue of cutting.
That's right. So it's
now, there's really two different things.
That's correct.
So here you don't have to send the father away.
Correct. That's right. So according to the Maracha Zur, it's much more gishmak. Now, the Tosfos read, there's another Tosfos read in Kedushin that Chavtas everyone quotes, and they say, oh, he holds just like the Maracha Zur. The assay is the final result. So as long as at the end of the...
Result, is it enough? Maybe the
tzaraz
gets cut off before the meal is done.
It's one slice. It's one slice. Everything goes. That's what Yerushalayim spoke about. We spoke about this. Yeah, who was it already? The Rashba had such a shtickle type. The nega is not exactly there. We talked about it once before. Yeah. So there's a Tosfos in Kedushin everyone talks about. There's a famous Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes where Tosfos has a kasha. There's a special mi'at akra that women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of mila. So Frank Tosfos kasha. Why don't any special exercise of women are automatically out of the mitzvah of mila because the mitzvah says shaz man grom. You can't get a more time sensitive mitzvah than mila. Why? Because mila can only be done on the 8th day. And it can only be done during the day, not at night. So Taisa has his bomb kasha, Mila should be considered a mitzvah shazman grama. If so, women should be exempt automatically. Why do I need another pasuk? So everyone gives terutzim, a lot of terutzim in the Mishnah, but there's one Taisa's read over here that I want to focus on. The Taisa's read writes like this. When do we have this rule that time-sensitive mitzvahs women are potter? Hani mili mitzvah de talia begufa. It's only a mitzvah that's in her body, in his body. Vehi ain't a mitzvah, elo is man yidua. Let's say, for example, something like shofar. I have to hear shofar. I have to shake the lulav, and I can only hear the shofar and shake the lulav within a small amount of time, throughout Sukkot, throughout Rosh Hashanah. That's an example of zman grama. V'loy b'chol zman. I have a mitzvah d'loy talya begufa. But let's say there's a mitzvah that's not really on my body. Kigoyin. Lomolas b'na. I don't have a mitzvah to cut my son. One would have thought, yes, you do. Isn't that what the whole mitzvah is? You have a mitzvah to shake lulav, and you have a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. You have a mitzvah to cut off your son's milah. Now, obviously, if you can cut off your son's milah, and you hire a shliach. But before this Taisavir came to town, before the Marach Hazura came to town, we would have looked at the mitzvah of milah as a mitzvah begufa, like sukkah, or like any other mitzvah. Says the Taisavir, it's not. Why not? Avagav de milas haben yesh lezman. Ni de kavua hazman leben hanimol. There's a zman for the baby. Avalo av shetzivua habayre les asik be milas benoy. The father commanded that the father should be busy with the milah. Ha'esikahu ein loizman. Says the Tzvi, you know the father's mitzvah is not to cut off the foreskin.
It's up to the eighth day. No. The eighth day to be, because you have to make sure it's by the eighth day it's cut off.
No, but listen to this. He writes, Ha'esikahu ein loizman, shebein b'yoyim, ubein b'layla yitriach v'yochen, tzarechem milas b'noy.
But only for 8 days. It's like saying sukkahs. I only have 8 days to sit in the sukkah.
You can't do it in 8 days.
No. One second. Yeah. You guys, that's what he bavorned over. He says, Ni de kavua azman leben hanimol. That's a din in the mice. I mean, the mitzvah is only relevant for 8 days, but the idea of what my commandment is never stops. This is the famous vart by Kiddush Levana. Is Kiddush Levana considered mitzvah Zman Grama? Or Sfiras Omer, the Ramban, right? Yeah. Sometimes if the mitzvah itself runs out of time, that's not my fault. It's a question of what my mitzvah is. Obviously, my mitzvah is to be busy with my son. But if my son, who's the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah, his mitzvah has a time limit, that doesn't affect me. So that's really what the Tzvi is saying over here. I mean, my job is this askus. That's a 24-hour, 7-day job, but not 8 days.
The point is, the father shouldn't have to put on tefillin the whole 8 days.
I see
b'mitzvah. but isn't the 8th day still a secondary part of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah continues into the 9th and 10th day?
Oh, that's the other.
Like other mitzvahs.
Right, the other answer is the mitzvah does technically continue, because even if you don't do it on the 8th, you can do it on the 9th.
Right, so it's not a mitzvah.
Right, so he's saying the father's job, the father's mitzvah is not the cutting. Because they're bothered with, what about you can't do a bris milah the third night? The answer is, yeah, but the father can call the mo'el on the third night. The father can call the caterer on the third night. The father can call the caterer on the 4th day and the 5th day. So all those in between days, before you get to day 8, there is mitzvah for the father to do. There's this askus that's to be busy with. So the Tzvi sounds like, what's the mitzvah of the father? It's not the cutting. It's the his askus. Be the busy. Be toil with the mitzvah.
Yeah, but what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the cutting, or is the mitzvah the status?
Oh, so then he writes. So
and that goes forever. That's not.
Oh, so he writes over here.
Responsible.
What?
So why wouldn't it work?
Wouldn't
you
be responsible? There's no
Zman.
You have to have it cut off. It has to be.
Yeah, didn't see
Paul. All right, that's his answer. That's exactly his answer. That's why it wouldn't be called a Zman
Groma. Exactly. That's why you need a special.
Did Moshe's wife do the Milah?
That's right. Yeah, that's a big question that everyone talks about, the Gemara and the Dharam. But Moshe Rabbeinu's wife did the Milah, so is that a right? Women could do Milah, women can't do Milah. It's Machlokes in the Gemara. If a lady could be a Moel. That's a Shayla in the Gemara. If a lady could be a Moel. So the question over here is that's a Kasha. Meaning, if you hold a lady can't be a Moel, how could you be Machai of a lady to do Milah? You're basically tying her hands. But the Gemara is a Havamina that women should be. But again, you have the same problem. Call anything you can't do, a shliach can't do for you. So if I can't do a meal, I can't make a shliach to be a meal for me. It's a big kasha.
Well,
we hold they can't. We hold they can't.
Cannot? Based on?
They're not in the parsha.
You hold it's not shliach.
Oh, so one answer is you hold it's not shlichus. So Rav David Lifshitz has a nice piece where he explains there's two types of shlichus. He bases this on his Rebbe, Reb Shimon. David Lipschitz was one of the big Talmidim of Reb Shimon. I met Rabbi Willig was a Rebbe in DRS. He told me that David Lipschitz was a Goyin Adir, big massive Talmud Chacham. He said he remembers davening in a shul. He said it was like 10 people in a shul. So he was trying to tell me that sometimes in Rabbanis, the size of your shul is not a reflection of how great you are. I'm not sure if I should take that as an insult.
I could have told you that.
I wasn't sure if I was taking that as an insult or not, but I don't know who was talking to me. I don't know. I wasn't trying to take it. He was talking to me. But he was telling me that he remembers Rav David Lifshitz's shul. Rav David Lifshitz was a Goyin Adir. So he was a Talmud of Reb Shimon. So Rav David Lifshitz writes from his Rebbe, Reb Shimon, that there's two types of shlichus. There's one shlichus where I have the power and I give you the power. That's one type of shlichus. There's another type of shlichus where no one needs power. It's just that if I want to get credit for it, I need shlichus. Let's say, for example, it talks about ksiva sefer Torah. The Minchas Chinuch writes that women are potter from the midst of ksiva sefer Torah because women don't have a chiv in Talmud Torah. So the Shagasai has a whole discussion about whether or not the lady can be Mamana Shliach to write a Sefer Torah. So the Shagasai has a kasha. How does it help for a lady? If a lady can't do it herself, so she can't make a Shliach. Says Rav Lifshitz, I don't understand. If I don't make you a Shliach and you still write a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is written. It's a Metzias. It's a reality. It's just that I don't get the credit for it. We're not Mesiachis, the Mitzvah back to me. So I need the Shlichas to be Mesiachis back to me. But sometimes I need the Shlichas to give you the power. For example, you can't marry a woman for me unless I give you the power to do so. So that's a Zed of Lifshitz Gevaldik. The type of shlichas where it's the exchange of power, that we say, if I don't have the power to do it myself, I can't give you the power. But the type of shlichas was just merely being misyachis, the mitzvah back, then even though I don't have the power to do the mitzvah, but then I can get the credit for the mitzvah if I make you a shlich. So that's the same thing here also over here.
So could a woman be the shaliach?
So if a lady would have a mitzvah to do milah.
No, but I have a mitzvah and I appoint.
Right, that's the problem. One second. That's the question. If you hold like the Maracha or Zeruah, that you don't need shlichos, so that everything is fine. But if you assume that I need to make a shliach, so the Gemara had to have me, the women should be chayv in mila. How could a lady be chayv in mila if she can never do the mila herself? So you'll tell me, so she'll hire someone. But then you're back to square one. I can't hire anyone for something I can't do. So it's a double lift. It's not true. Because why can't the lady do mila? Mila is one of those mitzvahs that's about, let's say I don't hire a mile. And he goes on his own and gives the baby a bris. The kids get him out.
Right.
Or whatever. Well, someone who's kosher at least. So why do I need to ever make a shliach?
Who got the mitzvah there?
So I need to make shlichas to give me the mitzvah.
Right.
So therefore, Zaktiv Dov Lifshitz, in that case, a lady kataka be mamana shliach. That's his understanding. But by this place to read.
If a woman does the bris, he's not
mayor? I forgot already how it goes. We talked about this a while ago. If that's considered that you need to do a tafestan bris, I don't remember already. What happens if a lady does the milah?
Why is a woman a chayvin?
Because she's not in the parsha.
Torah.
Igmar makes a drasha. Igmar Kedushin has special drashas that she's excluded from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Therefore, she has no mitzvah to learn. Therefore, she has no mitzvah to teach. And therefore, her father has no mitzvah to teach her either. That's what Igmar comes out in Kedushin. Doesn't mean she can't learn on her own. The Rambam writes, if a lady learns on her own, she gets chayv like an ena mitzvah v'vaisa. She gets chayv like anyone who's not obligated. But she's allowed to learn. But she's not mechuyev to learn. Neither does her father have an obligation to teach her.
Well, it's different types of Talmud Torah. Torah Lishma, women have a Torah, but
so that's the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that the Devarim Hashaychim Lahem, things that women have to learn, and they're mechuyev to learn.
Spending 6 weeks and a half,
That's right. Right, that they don't have to learn. They have to learn Devarim Hashaychim Lahem. That's the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch. But then, I have a Hashtikol Torah. I'm glad to learn the Sugi enough. I'm learning the Sugi enough for Seder and Yeshiva with my Talmidim. So I have a whole Mahalach. That's a different type of Talmud Torah. Even the Devarim that women have to learn, it's not Begeder Talmud Torah. It's Begeder Siyua to do mitzvahs. It's a different type of Talmud Torah. It's like a Hechsher mitzvah. It's more like this in the base. I leave you a couple places, but it's a Geshmaka Sugya. And then we could talk about women learning Gemara, but that's already too much for today. And that's recently I came across this article. Rabbi Willig made an article, wrote an article a couple of years ago, when Rabbi Leibowitz gave a share about it, a touchy topic.
Russia is very against women learning Gemara.
Yeah, he is? Does he write anything about it? Is there anything in written?
Maybe.
I'm curious.
He said it.
He said it? Really?
Why don't the men worry about learning Gemara? Don't worry about the men learning Gemara.
Yeah, it's a very touchy topic. I was doing it this morning.
You want to turn the tape off? No.
I'll just leave you with the Rosh Prakim. I don't think I'll ever discuss it here. I don't know, maybe one day we'll discuss it. It's all based on a comment from the Chavetz Chaim. If you look in Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that the women are not supposed to learn Teresh Shabbat Peh. They can learn Teresh Shabbat Peh, but not Teresh Shabbat Peh. So the Lakute Halach, the Chavetz Chaim writes, that was all back then. But today, says the Chavetz Chaim, we're losing the daughters. The girls are going off the derech. That was a big problem in Europe. The girls were not staying from. The Yiddishkeit wasn't infused through the home. That's the argument if there's such a Kavachim. That's a Machalikis, I think. So the Chavetz Chaim writes, today you have to infuse them with Yiddishkeit. If you don't give them Yiddishkeit, you don't give them Torah. They're going to go off the derech. So the Chavetz Chaim says they're allowed to learn Torah Shebek Sav, and they're allowed to learn Musa. So that's what we accepted. We accepted they're allowed to learn that. Nothing more, nothing less. So there are later Achrayim that justified. They said, no, that was back in the 1920s. Today in the 1960s, if you don't teach a girl Gemara, she's also going to go off the derech. She's not going to feel connected to Yiddishkeit. So you have to teach a Gemara. So Rabbi Willig wrote an article a few years ago. Rabbi Mordechai Willig wrote an article where he said, I think we should reassess the situation. He says, maybe we should reassess the situation. Maybe what was acceptable 45 years ago is not necessarily the case today. Maybe today girls don't need it so much. Maybe today they don't need the Gemara to keep them from. Okay, that's the that's the discussion. How far do you take the Chavetz Chaim? But in any case, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi took it all the way.
Yeah, someone showed me a picture where Rabbi Willig was sitting in the shir with as Rabbi Soloveitchik was teaching the Gemara. Rabbi Willig himself used to teach the shir in Stern for many years after Rabbi Soloveitchik stopped teaching it. I think that's what he's saying. He's saying now might be a time to reassess. And then from the school in Mayanot, So my note, the principal wrote an article saying the other way. Maybe not. Maybe I believe we'll give a whole share on it for an hour. You can listen to it online. It's the same way I did. But he makes a good argument. He says you really have to speak to those people that are involved in girls' chinuch. It's very easy for us to sit here talking about girls. We have no idea what goes on with girls. I'm not a mechanech in a girls' high school. I have no idea. I know boys have enough trouble staying on the day. I don't know what's going on with the girls. But if it's true, it's true. If the girls talk and need it to keep them on the straight and narrow, then maybe they do need it. If they don't need it, then they don't need it. That's a question. You have to know the metzias. Only people that will know the metzias are girl people that are educators in the girls' system. You know, for a Rebbe to get up and say, I don't need it, you know. And then people bash Rebbe Willa. They call him a sexist and they call him he doesn't treat women properly. That's ridiculous. If anyone knows him, he's totally, that's not who he is. They say he's so he doesn't understand the outside world. He doesn't understand the outside world. You think he's a Rav in Bnei Brak? I'm saying he's a Rav in Riverdale. Like, let's be honest over here. Come on, what are you talking about? He doesn't know the outside world. That's stomp people that don't know anything. They just want to.
And he has incredible respect for women.
I mean, yeah, with the Aguna, with the Heter. Yeah, he's so machbid. Yeah, he's so machbid. It's ridiculous. This is what people don't know anything have to vent, and that's the problem today. Everyone has a platform. Every guy gets a sheet because he has a website.
He has a block.
It's unbelievable. In any case,
maybe now, take away the iPhone, then the kids would be more interested in learning.
That's a good start, probably. Definitely a good start. Okay, so we got officially sidetracked into controversial territory. Very good. We're yoyt in the midst of controversial talk. Okay, but back to the Tosfos Arid. So I got the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch Grad, it sounds like that you're not allowed to teach your daughters even Torah Shabbat. So I can't do homework with my daughter anymore. She learns Tanakh, that's it. She has to do only homework with my wife. I'm part of doing homework.
That's because you guys
because it's Tanakh. That's a different reason. But Lamai said that doesn't fly. Most people assume. But you got to see the Sabbath Rebbe wrote quite a few letters in Divrei Yoel about this whole shayla about women learning on their own. Very, very fascinating sugya about whether or not they can pick up a Gemara on their own. Let's say a girl today wants to pick up a Gemara. She can pick up a Shev Shemaita. She can pick up a Ketzai. She can pick up Reb Shimon. Is that a problem? So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a problem. It's just that we can't teach her. She wants to learn Ramatov Manayim. She has no problem. That's the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. The Satmar Rebbe thinks that's absolutely not Psha in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so obviously in Satmar, the girls aren't learning Shev Shemaitz and Ketzais. That's a fair assumption. I think they're learning very, I think the Chassidim do very basic Tanakh. Mom is nothing very fancy. Yeah, I do think that, okay, I think they probably should, again, I don't think girls have to memorize every Radak and every Ramban and every Ralbag. That's probably not going to make them better wives or better husbands, better spouses or better mothers, but they should be infused with Torah. I think that's an important lesson. The lesson is that it used to be they got it from the home. Today they don't get it from the home anymore. That's the real lesson. The Rav Shmuel Vazir writes in one of his svarim, there was no such thing called a kala teacher. The mother taught the daughter all of Taras Mishpacha, and that was it. Mother to daughter, and that was the Messiah. What ended up happening, the mother didn't know all the halachas, so they had to stop teaching it because they didn't know the halachas, which is good. Baruch Hashem, you have someone teaching them. But it was everything. It was always like that. When they first had the Beis Yaakov movement, so the Chafetz Chaim gathered all the Bachim together, and they davened that the Beis Yaakov movement should fail. Chavetz Chaim was convinced if the Beis Yaakov woman care is going to work, it's going to change the whole society. Women are going to become rabbis and women are going to become yoetzes, as maybe we see today. And he davened every day. They had a sifas talmidim that it should fail. Someone came to Chavetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, you poshut don't understand what's going on. You live in Radin. You have to broaden your horizon. If you look at the other towns in Europe, the husbands come home from Shul Shabbos afternoon and the girls go to the movies. It was a different world. The girls had no sheiches Yiddishkeit. People joke about the Shidduch crisis today. It was backwards. None of these girls wanted to marry Yeshiva Bachim. They weren't interested. They wanted professionals, they wanted well-read guys, they didn't want these yeshiva guys who spend 18 hours a day learning. It's a different world. So back then, it was a different world. So now I'm not sure today things have changed. So in any case, so back to the Tosfos Arid. Okay? So the Tosfos Arid seems to be saying like the Maharaj Azubur, right? He writes, the mitzvah is what? The busyness. So therefore, says the Tosfos Arid, Hilchach, therefore, ilav oisa, if not for the Torah explicitly exempting women from milah, hava mechayvinam gamu isha. I would have been mechayv women. Now, fine. But what's the kamashman of the pasuk now? This Tosfos Arid was all in a havamin of a gemara. Before there's a special exeris hakasav, I would have thought this. So here, you always have to ask yourself, what's the kamashman? Is the kamashman that this lomdus is wrong? Kamashman oisoy v'leyosah, the women are exempt from milah. You know why they're exempt from milah? Because it really is as man gromo. And the mitzvah is not hisaskos. The mitzvah is the actual chaticha. Or no, even after the kamashman, the lomdus still stays in play. So I think when people bring a raya from the Tosfos Arid, it's not such a fear raya. Because the Tosfos Arid was saying all this in a havamina. I don't know what the maskana is. The maskana is there's a special pasuk that says otherwise. So you always have to ask yourself, what's the kamashmon? Is the kamashmon that the lomdus is incorrect? Or the kamashmon is even the lomdus is right? There's a special exercise. So the taste of it to me, I'm going to leave off as question. Okay, Blina, the next week, we're going to see the Russian chulin. That's going to be a big discussion to whether or not you can make a shliach or not make a shliach. That's going to be a machlokes achron.